Let's read together Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. In this first half of chapter 1, we have a denunciation of the Galatian churches for distorting the gospel of Christ. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's consider a few background notes now as we begin our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. In verses 1 through 5, the verses that we just read, we have the salutation to the letter. In this salutation, we have the writer of the letter in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, the recipients of the letter in verse 2, the churches of Galatia, and the greeting of the letter in verse 3. The Apostle Paul emphasizes in verse 1 that his apostleship did not come through some human agency, but from the Lord himself. Now, this was very important for the Galatians to understand, because the Judaizers were trying to undermine the authority of the Apostle Paul. Now, who were the Judaizers? The Judaizers in the letter to the Galatians were certain Jews who had influenced the Galatian churches and were teaching that salvation was not through faith in Christ alone. You also had to keep the requirements of the law of Moses. No way, said the Apostle Paul. Salvation is by God's grace alone. It's the work of Christ on the cross that saves us, not our own works of keeping the law or any other good works that we do. Note the summary of the gospel in verse 4. Who, that is Christ. Christ gave himself for our sins. Christ gave himself for our sins. That's substitutionary atonement. That's the gospel. That's the good news. We are not saved by following the good example or the good role model of Christ. No, we are saved when we believe that Christ died as our substitute on the cross for our sins. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Now, one of the other benefits of our salvation is that not only are our sins eternally forgiven, but as verse 4 says, we are delivered from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we not only escape the penalty of our sins, but we also receive power to live godly lives in this evil world that surrounds us. That's good news, isn't it? That's what gospel means, good news. Now, between verses 5 and 6, a section of thanksgiving is notably missing. You see, in first century letters, after the greeting and before the body of the letter, there would normally be a section of thanksgiving. If there was no section of thanksgiving, it meant that the writer was very intent on getting right to his point, because it was of critical importance. And that's the case here in Galatians. Most of Paul's letters have a section of thanksgiving, but not Galatians. Why not? Because of this critical error of the Galatian churches. They were watering down the gospel by mixing in the works, the requirements of the law. And more we could give for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this first half of Galatians chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1. Only a gospel that is Christ-centered will save you. Only a gospel that is Christ-centered will save you. Verses 6 through 8. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul was surprised that the Galatian churches had in such a relatively short time turned to a different gospel. The gospel that the Judaizers were teaching was a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Verse 7. It sounds like they were turning to paganism or heathen religion, doesn't it? I mean, you can see that Paul is really concerned here. But they were not turning to paganism or some heathen religion. No. They were just mixing in the requirements of the law that God had given to Moses. That doesn't sound heretical, does it? But it is, then and today. Notice from verse 6, it is turning away from God. To mix in the requirements of the law or add human works of any kind to the perfect work of Christ for salvation is worse than heresy. It is telling God that you don't believe the value of the person and work of Christ is good enough. You're saying that you've got to add something, as if your works were good enough to add to perfection. Don't get me wrong, and don't get the scripture wrong. Good works have their place in the Christian life, but not for salvation. You can't add the requirements of the law or good human works to God's grace, because it is then no longer grace. It's either grace or works. It's impossible to have a mixture. You add any works to God's grace, God's unmerited favor. That's what grace is, God's unmerited favor to man. You add any kind of works to that, it's no longer grace. Even the slightest amount, it's no longer grace. A gospel that is not 100% Christ-centered will not save you. But suppose an angel clothed with dazzling light were to appear right now here beside me and say something like this: "Greetings to you, dear Christians. You know, Dave Reed means well, and certainly the work of Christ on the cross in dying for the sins of the world is important. But let's face it, folks, you have to do your part. God does his part, and then you do your part. Your part is good works, and God does the rest. Sound good? Now let me ask you, would you believe the angel in dazzling light, or would you believe me, Dave Reed? Listen, I hope that you would believe me and tell the angel to go back to where he came from. Verse 8 again, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And remember, by the way, 2 Corinthians 11:14 in this connection. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. A gospel that says that we have to add something to what Christ has already done is a different gospel. It's a distorted gospel. Whether it be doing good works or giving money to the church or having to be baptized to be saved, it's a different gospel. It will not save you. Only a gospel that is fully Christ-centered will save you. Doctrinal point number 2. Only a gospel that is Bible-based will save you. Only a gospel that is Bible-based will save you. Verses 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. You know, this is strong language, isn't it, folks? To be accursed or anathema means to be eternally condemned. This curse is pronounced upon anyone who adds to, or takes away from, or changes in any way the gospel that was handed down from the apostles. Now, where do we find the gospel that the apostles preached? Right here in the New Testament. The apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. There's the simple gospel that we must believe in order to be saved. Notice, there are no requirements of the law or good works that are added. And of course, you know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe the gospel that was handed down from the apostles and is in the Bible? Or do you believe a gospel that has been changed by some church or by some cult somewhere down in history? You know, there are all kinds of gospels that may sound good and may appeal to our human natures. But in the end, it is only what is true that really counts. Only the gospel or good news that is in the Bible is the truth. Any other gospel is false. Only a gospel that is Bible-based will save you. What about practical application from this first half of Galatians chapter 1? Don't preach to please people. Don't preach to please people. Verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." How do you think my sermon would go over in many churches this morning? Not too well. People don't like to hear that you can't work your way to heaven. That doesn't allow for human pride. And people don't like to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They much rather believe that there are many different ways to heaven. I mean, all roads lead up the same mountain, don't they? No, that is not what the Bible teaches. And by the way, the Muslim Allah is not the Christian God of the Bible. More we could say there. I mean, but people really like to believe that, you know, that all roads lead up the same mountain. Why any sincere person will make it? I'm so sorry. No way. Paul did not preach that way, and we should not preach that way. It would certainly be more pleasing to most people, but it would not be the truth. And we would not be, if we preach that way, we would not be servants of Christ. Verse 10. You want to be a servant of Christ? Don't preach to please people.